Good to see y'all this morning. Good morning, Lifeway Live as well. Good to be here. We have choices that we have to make every single day, don't we? And so sometimes those choices are easy. Like, should I wear clothes today as I come to church? I am glad that y'all got that choice right, and you all did the right thing there, okay? But sometimes they get more complicated, right? It's like, do I wear the red top or the yellow top? Right? Those are the difficult choices in life. But we understand, we know choices get much tougher than that. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could make the right choice every single time? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if God's Word provided us some help to make the right choice each and every time? Well, it just so happens God's Word does provide some help for us. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. But before we go any further, let's play a game. Do y'all like games? Okay, so the game is I've got 9 things, okay? Actually, I'm going to throw a 10th one in there. But anyways, it's you're going to choose wisely, okay? So this is kind of the choice game, all right? So first one we're going to go with is macaroni and cheese versus mashed potatoes, okay? So by show of hands, macaroni and cheese, raise your hand. Okay, all right. And mashed potatoes with you're right, Paul, with gravy. You got to have that gravy, okay? All right, so we're kind of split there. Here we go, next choice. Y'all ready? Ford versus Chevy. Okay, so where are my Ford people at? Oh, y'all are terrible. All right, Chevy. And some of y'all are like, I could care less, right? Okay, so we got Ford versus Chevy. Now, our next one, here we go, because we live in the great state of Texas, we have a couple choices with football teams, right? So we got the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans. Okay, so let me see my Dallas Cowboys fans. Okay, the team in Texas, all right? Just saying. And my Houston Texans fans, okay? All right, and then the rest of y'all don't care because, your team was not one of the choices, right? All right, I got another one for you. I'm going to throw this one in because it's election season, so I'm just teasing with you. Y'all don't want to go on record? All right, what about this one, okay? So these are going to kind of start getting to be a little bit more complicated. Those are easy somewhat, and this one's probably easy for you too, but going to vacation, flying or driving, okay? Flying or driving to vacation. It's far enough. We're not talking about like driving to, going to Victoria, okay? So flying, you want to fly to your vacation, okay? Quite a few. What about driving? You don't trust those planes. You've heard of those plane wrecks where people disappear and then they reappear 10 years later? And they're the same age. That's a TV show. All right, so flying and driving. Maybe you had a bad experience flying, so you like to drive. Or you hate to drive, so you'd rather just fly. All right, here's another one. Here's another choice. Speeding to get home early or obeying the speed limit. Y'all don't want to throw your hands up on this, indeed. All right, so you speed to get home early because you just got off work. You want to get there, right? Okay, and then who are the righteous people in the room who obey the speed limit signs? Okay. All right. All right. So let's say there's a scenario where you see some money on the ground and you pick it up. It's in a restaurant or something like that. Maybe the waiter dropped it. And you have the option to return the money or keep the money. Okay. So what do you do? Return the money. Okay, I think, and then keep the money. Y'all be honest, you're in church. There you go. Hey, 20 bucks richer. All right. What about this one? Forgiving the person who stabbed you in the back versus, holding that grudge. These kind of get more personal, don't they? These are the tougher things, so we won't throw our hands up on those. What about this one? Being present and involved with your church family. When I mean involved, that means serving and doing those things. Or using the time for you. This is me time. I'm going to go on vacation. I don't want to get up this morning. I want to go, and I just want to like get to the couch, watch my favorite show, eat some snacks. That's all I want to do. There's that choice. And then here's this last choice. Internalizing our failures and not confessing our sin to Christ. There's that choice. It's basically, we bury it deep and we hold the shame inside. Or we come to God because we know that He's gracious and He's merciful, and we tell Him what He already knows. You know, that should be an easy choice, right? But did you know that there are tons of Christians who struggle with that? Who keep their sin close, kind of like the football, high and tight, right? They keep it right here. And they don't want anybody else to know. They don't want to confess it to God because they're embarrassed, because they carry around this shame. You see, some of these more difficult choices, though, can be made easier when we understand what God's Word says. These choices that we grapple with on a daily basis can become easier for us to make the right choice when we do it based upon God's Word. And that's what we're going to look at today. You see, a lot of times we struggle to make the right choice because we don't know the whole truth. We don't see the whole picture. I love what Jesus says here in John 8, verses 31 and 32. He says this, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, 'If you remain in My word, if you remain in My word, then you are truly My disciples.'" And then He says this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So how do I make good choices? Well, we're going to cover that here in just a second in more detail, but according to this verse right here, we have to remain in His Word. We have to remain in His Word. Now let's get to our text scripture, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. Now let me just give you a little bit of background. The city of Corinth was a pagan place to live. It had all sorts of terrible things going on. They had the temple of Diana, and it was erected, and what they would do is you would go there, and your worship of this goddess Diana would include sexual things. It was a terrible place. It was a very difficult place for a Christian to live. And so as Paul writes this letter, he addresses some of those issues. He's addressing these things. The first part of chapter 6, he discusses lawsuits versus with believers. There was a problem in that church where believers were suing each other, basically. And Paul says, "Why would you take your problems and display it in public to the world? Solve this right there in the church. Let's do what's right." And then we get to verse 11. We don't have that on the screen, but listen to verse 11. He says this. He's talking about 9 and 10. He's talking about how these people were adulterers, they're fornicators, they're idolaters, they're thieves, they're covetous. And in verse 11, he says this, "Such were some of you." Think about your past. Okay, the things that you carry around with you, the things that you know that you've done in your past. "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." Now we get to verse 12, and he says this, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." So let's stop and talk about what this verse is saying right quick. All things are lawful for me. Would it be okay? Is there a law against eating 50 pounds of chocolate? Has anybody ever tried it? Okay, I like chocolate, but I couldn't eat no 50 pounds of it. But it would be lawful to do that, right? Would it be profitable to you to do that? It wouldn't be profitable to indulge in that much chocolate, would it? Okay, as yummy as that might be, you sit there, you can't do that. You can't, I mean, it would be terrible on your body. So all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. Then he goes on, he says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Is it wrong to watch TV? Let's use our voices this morning, okay? I can see y'all's heads, but I'm just saying, let's communicate. Is it wrong to watch TV? You say it depends on what you're watching, but most of us are saying no, you know, TV's okay. You know, it's okay to watch TV. And I would agree with you. It's okay to watch TV. But if you are brought underneath its power and it becomes this craving, something that you have to have, then it has mastered you. It has mastered you. So it may not be wrong to watch it. But once it has mastered you, it becomes, well, just like it says, your master. And so therefore it's wrong. It may be lawful to do that. But it's not profitable, and it's not good for it to be mastered. Then he gives this illustration in verse 13. He says, food is for the stomach. Amen? All right, I like food. Food's good. But God will, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. But God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. And the Lord is for the body. Verse 14, now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Why is he specifically saying this right here? Because remember the town of Corinth. To go to the temple of Diana, you would have the priest would be the prostitutes, and you would commit these sexual acts with them. And so what he's warning them is there were some church members that were going to the temple Diana. They were trying to, you know, play both sides of the fence, and they would commit these things with these prostitutes. And so that's why he says, shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? And of course, he answers that question. He says, may it never be. Verse 16, or do you not know the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Then he gives this command, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Verse 20. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So, how can we make good choices? Well, let's talk about a couple of equations. Do y'all like math? Any math fans in here? Okay. All right. So, I've got some equations for you. Okay. So our first equation is this, and as he says here in verse 11, such were some of you. This is the equation before we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is what it looks like. If we could get it on the screen, here it is. Me plus my desires equal I do what I want, right? So Christ is of no factor in your relationship with him. And so when you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is your life. You don't have to worry about anybody else. You just do what you want to do, right? That's what the Bible declares to us. And when we do what we want to do, well, we sin. You know, as we talked about that list in verse 9 and 10, what happens in our life is we get stuck in these ruts of practicing this sin over and over, and then these things, they master us, and they control us, and we're stuck. Because all we know is what we want to do, and so therefore we do what we want to do. You probably have personal testimonies, personal stories of how sin controlled you at one point in your life. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and so it's still controlling you. It still has its grasp, its grip on you, and you can't make good choices. The choices that you're making are bad choices. You may say, "Well, I'm a good person, but I know that I'm not doing what God has told me to do. I know I'm living a life that is contrary to what His Word says." And so the first equation, Jesus isn't in it. It's me plus my desires, and it will always equal you do what you want to do. But let's introduce what I call the Jesus factor into the equation, okay? So we're going to look at our second equation. Our second equation, we add Jesus in. And so now we have me plus my desires plus Christ. And so what this means in our life is we start to do the things that Christ wants us to do. But because our desires are still involved in the equation and they're in addition to Christ, what it means is we also do what we want to do. And what does that make us? You can see it on the screen. Hypocrites. Why does it make us a hypocrite? I mean, we're doing some things that God wants us to do. That's good, right? We're making some good choices. Let me state this. This is not a lesson to say you can make a perfect choice and you will never sin the rest of your life. Because we know that there is only one person, Jesus Christ, who was sinless, who made all the right choices. So this is not a lesson to tell us that this is what we must do in order to be the perfect person the rest of our life. We understand that there's going to be struggles and things like that. But what I'm talking about is when you try to ride the fence and you say, I'm going to have my foot over here, I'm going to do what God wants, and I'm also going to do what I want. Because let me ask you a question, and be honest with me. How often in that equation do you do what you want versus what God wants? I know in my life, when I involve my desires in that equation, I end up doing what I want to do the majority of the time. I might sprinkle a little bit of good choices that would honor God in there, but then I pour a whole lot of bad choices in there too. And that's not the way our life should be lived. Verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You see, when we have our desires as part of this equation, it messes it up. It turns us into that hypocrite. And do y'all like hypocrites? No. Nobody likes hypocrites. They have a bad rap from everybody, right? You see here in the passage, when he talks about joining yourself to a prostitute, I want you to think of it this way. The choices that you make when you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are dragging Him along with whatever choice you're making. So if you choose to do what is wrong, if you choose to sit there and curse out your neighbor, Jesus is right there with you. It says the Holy Spirit has joined Himself to us. So if we have the Holy Spirit's right there. He indwells us. If you decide to drink too much where you're drunk and you get in and drive and you get that DWI, the Holy Spirit's right there with you. And I don't mean in the good type of way, you know what I'm saying? Like the Holy Spirit will be with you. I'm saying you are dragging God into your bad choices. You see, we can't compartmentalize our life and say, okay, God, you're here on Sunday, but then I'm going to drop you off at school Monday through Friday so I can live like I want to, and I'll pick you back up late Saturday night. That's not the way God has called us to live. And we should, as Christians, we should know that. In fact, Paul does. He says this, I think, three times in this passage. Verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? And then he says again, verse 19, or verse 16, or do you not know that the one who joins himself? Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple? You see, what he's saying is, these things, I've taught you these things. You know better. Have you ever said that as a parent to your child? You know better. You know that you can't do that. Well, this is what Paul's saying to them. You know better. Don't you remember what I taught? You know that you're not supposed to be living this way. This brings us to our third equation. Okay. Do y'all remember that thing in school called PEMDAS? Anybody? PEMDAS? It's parentheses, exponents, multiplication, divisions, addition, subtraction, right? Okay, so according to PEMDAS, my equations are right, okay? Because when you have addition and subtraction, you work left to right, okay? So it's me minus my desires. So what I'm doing is I realize my desires are going to be a part of my life each and every day. So I'm giving them the boot. Why am I giving them the boot? Because who I'm owned by. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? So all of a sudden, my desires, what I want to do, it gets kicked out, subtracted. Why? Because of verse 20. And I love verse 20. It says this, for you have been bought with the price. And what was that price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Why would he shed his blood for a sinner like me? Why would he want me? I don't know. Except for what the Bible says, that he did so out of love and mercy and grace. And so as it says, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, because of this, glorify God in your body. So the equation, you have yourself, you take out your desires, and you have Christ, and it equals, I'm going to do what Jesus wants in my life. Because the choice is no longer mine. The choice belongs to Him. So do you see how it becomes easier to make good choices? Because the choice no longer belongs to you. It belongs to your Father in heaven. It belongs to Jesus Christ who gave his life and his blood for you so that you could have that personal relationship with him. You see, when we try to live our life as though we're living that second equation, man, we're just going to be stuck in that rut. We may have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but we're not going to do anything major for him. You may show up. You may even be a faithful church member. I'm saying you're here every Sunday. But I'm telling you right now, when you are the one controlling your life, things are going to go wrong at some point. You can play the game and you can kind of hide it for a while. But your desires are going to rear their ugly head and they're going to begin to control your life and master it again at some point. So that's why Paul says, You've been bought with a price. So therefore, glorify God in your body. Your choices no longer belong to you. They belong to God. So what does that look like? Well, any given situation, scenario that you're in. Remember that question back in the day, like in the 90s, and there were some bracelets that people had? What was it? Yeah, well, they were slapsticks, but yeah, what would Jesus do? You know why that became so popular? Because it reminded us of this very fact that, hey, I need to do what Jesus wants me to do. And what Jesus wants me to do is what is right and is what is good, right? That's what we want to do. I know the struggle that each and every one of us faces with this. And that's why it's important that we have this persistent relationship with Christ, that we wake up every day and we surrender our lives to Him. And we open His Word and we read from His Word. Second Peter verses 1, 5 through 9 says this. It says, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. So what the process that's happening is each and every day you're surrendering your life to Christ. And as you surrender your life to Christ and you're in His Word, what's happening is He's molding and making you what He wants you to be. And then we look at verse 8. Pay attention. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful. So what he's saying is you will be useful to God and you will be fruitful for God. It's exactly what we were created to be. Useful to God and fruitful to Him. And it says, useful nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then catch verse 9. For he who lacks, doesn't have these qualities, is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. So the reason we must give our choices over to Christ and do what he tells us to do is because we want to be useful and fruitful for God. We don't want to be blind and short-sighted and unuseful to God. So what is our bottom line today? Well, we learn with our first equation that you must be saved in order to have the Jesus factor. Because me plus my desires will always equal to do what I want. Okay? And sometimes what you want may be some good things, like holding the door at the grocery store. I guess they're automatic, aren't they? But anyways, you know, holding the door at a restaurant. You know, putting a buggy up, you know, from someone else. So it may be some good things, but ultimately we understand our desires are wrong, and they miss the mark if we don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And just because you are saved doesn't mean you make good choices. That second equation, me plus my desires plus Christ, means, hey, I make some good choices and I make some bad choices, and ultimately what that makes me is this hypocrite. And lastly, that third equation, truly the only way to make good choices is to let Christ decide for you and follow what he has told you to do. So what are your next steps this morning? What should you do today? Well, for some of you, it may be that you don't have the Jesus factor in your life. And you need to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins because of his great love for you. He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried. He was dead, right? He wasn't sleeping. He was dead. And in 3 days later, he rose again. And if you will believe that about Jesus Christ and you will confess him as Savior, the Bible says this, you will be saved. And so what happens? You get the Jesus factor in your life. For those of you right now, you're struggling because you know most of the decisions that you're making have your desires factored in. What should you do about that? Well, what you should do is you should come to God broken and torn up about that. And that's not a manufactured thing. That's where God convicts you that you have done what is wrong, that you're riding the fence, and you say, God, for that I am sorry. And you confess that to Him. And then what we have to do is we have to realize that each and every choice belongs to God. So if you've got to go get a WWJD slap bracelet, okay, go get yourself a WWJD slap bracelet. If you have to have some other way to remind you, maybe you need to print that equation out and say, oh yeah, I remember today. Today I'm letting Jesus make the decisions for me in my life. Then you do that. Because if we want to make good choices, we subtract our desires, let Him make the choices, and what will be is fruitful and useful to the God who cared enough to send His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And that's what we should all desire and want in our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You so much for this passage of Scripture and how it speaks into our lives. God, we are not our own. So many times we act like that. We put our desires, our dreams ahead of what You have called us to do. We say, God, I don't have enough time today to study Your Word. I don't have enough time to go invest in that neighbor who's right next door to me, who needs to know about the love of Jesus Christ. God, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. God, I just don't want to do that. And so we put our desires ahead of what You are calling us to do. And God, please break us for that. Please convict us of that so that we may change. And we will be like Your Son as He prays in the garden and as He's facing certain death. And He says, Lord, please let this cup pass from me. But God, if it's Your will, I'll do it. Please help us to be like that. Please help us to be molded into the image of Your Son. God, please use this message to break that hard heart, to strip it down, for confession to be made, for decisions to be made, for lives to be changed. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to say thank you for joining us, Lifeway Live. I hope that you have a great rest of your week and that you will use this sermon to help you make good choices.